Well, we appreciate God taking care of our pastor. Amen. You don't know it, but I'm going to feed you the same thing tonight I fed him last night. I told Ann, well, you know, I throw something together and then I make a mess of it. I just preached what I preached last night and make a mess out of it.
It's all the word of God.
Amen. But I'm going to try to finish it with y'all. Amen. I've been preaching on the grace of God demonstrated in the life of Lot. Mm-hmm. And that took me 5 services. And I began last night on a different section about Lot. There's only 2 services, but I'm going to give you the bones tonight. Let you hang the meat on it so you can get all of it, because we may not be here after tonight, amen. We just don't ever know. So if you will, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17. Now, there are 3 great events in the Bible that we need to be aware of and understand that everything that is written throughout all of Scripture has reference to one of these 3 great events. The first great event was what transpired in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned against God. The next great event is the coming of Jesus Christ and His incarnation to die on Calvary's tree for our sins. And the third great event is Him coming back to earth again. Now, 2 of those already are historical events. The last is historical, but it just hasn't occurred yet. But just as surely as the other 2 occurred, it will also occur. And so, after preaching on the grace of God demonstrated in the life of Lot for so long, I thought about this portion of Scripture and what Jesus had to say about Lot and his life. So if you'll begin reading with me tonight in verse number 28 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17, we'll find the Bible says, Jesus says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed most of them. It destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed in His second coming. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Amen. Then he says this, remember Lot's wife. My. Well, this portion of Scripture here places authenticity on the historical record of the man named Lot. Now, we live in a day where people criticize you and will call you every kind of ignorant name if you happen to believe in the literacy, the literalness of the Word of God. For some reason, and the reason is because they don't want to acknowledge what it says about them, They want to say that the Bible is written in a metaphorical type of prose. But the problem with that is we have no authority from the Lord Jesus Christ or anybody else to translate it any other way except literally. Amen. So don't let them lure you into that trap. They have a lot of sneaky ways to do it, but don't even entertain their thoughts. Jesus right here is basically saying that what Genesis chapter 19 has to say about Lot was an historical and accurate event. Amen.
Amen.
And he closed it by warning us to remember Lot's wife. Now, there was a Sunday school teacher teaching her children in Sunday school and was teaching about Lot and his failures in life and that of his wife. And she looked at them and she said, "You do believe that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, don't you?" One young man raised his hand. He said, "I sure do, teacher. My mama was going to town and she looked back and she turned into a telephone pole." So I ain't got no problem believing it. Even though he may have misunderstood the context, he did say that he believed it. Now, if you read the first part of the middle of this chapter, the Pharisees came to Jesus after healing 10 lepers, and they asked him, "When will the kingdom of God come?"
Right.
Now, to the Pharisees, the coming of the kingdom of God was equal to the kingdom being restored to Israel, and that's all they were concerned about. They weren't concerned about the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. But he said the kingdom of God is within you, or among you. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, "There's coming a time when you'll wish to see one of the days of the Son of Man." And he said, "You'll not be able to." But he said, "You'll hear a lot of people say, 'Lo here or lo there.'" Jesus said, "Don't believe it."
Yeah.
He said, "For as the lightning comes from the east all the way into the west, it shines." He said, "So will the coming of the Son of Man be." It won't be a secret, and you won't need anybody to tell you that he's arrived. Amen. Huh? Now, he didn't tell that to Pharisees. He told it to his disciples. Why? Because this world is totally unconscious about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're not only in the dark, they're not only unconscious, but they could not care less.
That's right.
But his disciples are not like that. That's why he talked to them totally different than he did the Pharisees of that day. Amen. You see, the Bible says that we are not in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief.
That's right.
But we're children of the light, children of the day.
Right.
And so God has given us certain things that indicate to us that the coming of Jesus Christ could be at any moment. And that's what Jesus did here in comparing the days of Lot to the days when he will return to planet Earth. Amen. So I want us to compare these days quickly. First of all, we see that those days of Lot were days of comfort and commonality. Look what he said. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." Well, my goodness, there's not much to learn from that, because far as I know, ain't nothing wrong with eating, nothing wrong with drinking, amen, buying or selling, planting or building. How in the world? I mean, that always takes place. In every generation, how can that possibly be any indication to us that Jesus is coming? Well, that's what he wants us to see.
Yeah.
that he's going to come as a thief in the night.
Yeah.
And that when he comes, he's going to come not in an extraordinary time, but he's going to come in an ordinary time. Everything, the moment before Jesus returns, is going to be just like it always is. People eating and drinking,
yes,
buying and selling, yes, and planting and building.
Right.
And that's what, you see, here's the idea we got, and even I get a hold of this sometime and just shake. We think, man, this thing's going to crash, it's going to get worse and worse, and bless your heart, Jesus has got to come. But that ain't what he said here. Now, I want to tell you something. I got enough common sense to know that the U.S. of A. cannot keep going like it is.
Right.
Something's got to break.
Yes.
Something's got to bust. But honey, there's a lot of empires bigger than the United States of America that have fallen in history, and Jesus didn't come, so he could probably do without this one if you want to.
Yeah.
So we can't look and say, man, things are sure getting bad. Gasoline, $4 a gallon. Boy, I liking this cheap stuff, but them moneymakers ain't. Huh?
Right.
Oh, these are wicked times. I mean, it's just awful. The Lord surely's got to come. No, he don't. When he comes, he's going to surprise everybody, because some of them are going to be eating. Some of them's going to be a drinking. Some of them are going to be a buying, and some of them are going to be selling. Some are going to be a planting. I did that the other day. Wish the Lord would have come. And some people are going to be building. Amen.
Yeah.
You see what he said? That time will be a time of consumption. It will be a time of commerce, of cultivation and construction. It will be just like it's always been. And suddenly, he comes. When Jesus was asked about this once before, he said this. He said, no man knows that day or that hour. Not even the Son of Man, only my Father in heaven.
Amen.
That tells you he walked this earth as a man and a subject of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, he knows now.
Yeah.
He didn't know then, but he knows now. Amen. But I want to tell you something. People that look at different things and say the Lord's coming, son, they've been wrong all down through the ages. The Millerites took their people out and said, Jesus is coming. We figured it out when he's coming. We figured out where he's coming. Get rid of all that you got. Come on. He's coming back. Let's go. And they all got out there. And guess what? He didn't show up. And they're not the only ones, amen, that did that. I want to tell you something. Nothing has to happen for Jesus Christ to return.
Amen.
We got a bunch of people over there sparking things up in the Middle East in Jerusalem, trying to get them Jews to destroy that mosque of Islam over there and start building them a temple, because they think if they build a temple, Jesus will come back. Son, it ain't got nothing to do with us. You know what I'm going to do till he comes? I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to buy, I'm going to sell, I'm going to plant, and I'm going to build. Amen.
Right.
Yes.
I'm just going to let things roll and leave that in his hand.
Right.
Amen. And so, as far as the world's concerned, and Peter confirmed that in 2 Peter chapter 2, nothing's changed. We just keep on going and warring and everything else. And that's the history of mankind. Amen. Now we live in days of comfort like no other generation. Amen. Amen. But we got to go on. There were not only days of comfort and commonality in Lot's day in Sodom, but they were also days of compromise and concession.
That's it, brother.
You see how Lot wound up down in Sodom. I told you I preached about the grace of God demonstrated in the life of Sodom. I mean in Lot. Lot got everything that he ever got because of his association with one man.
That's right.
That man's name was Abraham.
Amen, brother.
I want you to know that Lot when he was a young fella. He didn't have a mama. He didn't have a daddy. Daddy died. Mama's never mentioned. Don't know what happened to her. It's not really important. But the fact is, Lot was an orphan, and Abraham took him in as his own son.
Yeah.
And he took him with him after God told him to depart from Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land of Canaan. Say, I'll bless you there. Everything that Lot got in life came because of his association with Abraham. Son, I want to tell you something. Everything I've got in life, everything you've gotten in life, is because of your association with God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ. You brag all you want to about how hard you work, son, but when the calf stomps you in the ground, you're not going to be able to work for a while. So you might ought to think about that before you go to bragging about yourself, amen. You may go through the intersection next and get hit, amen. You don't know what's on tomorrow. Amen. And that's what happened with Lot. So, son, he went down there to Egypt. I mean, everywhere he went, God gave him stuff. When he stopped in Haran and tarried there, son, when he left, the Bible said he had a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of souls. Boy, he went down there to Egypt when a famine occurred in the land of Canaan. When he came out of there, a Pharaoh gave him all kind of stuff. Said, get out of here. You almost got me killed. And when they got back to the land of Canaan, immediately in Genesis 13, an argument arose between the servants of Lot and the servants of Abraham. Abraham said, look, Lot, this ain't right. I tell you what you do. You pick out where you want to go, and whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. And the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, and that it'd be good for his cattle. And so Lot took his cattle and his servants and he went down there to the Jordan where the grass was greener. Now I'll ask you something. Where did he get all them cattle and where did he get them servants? Abraham. Because of Abraham. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It immediately tells us that he then pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now I want to tell you something. Lot not only acquired his cattle and his servants and everything else that he had because of Abraham, but son, everything that Lot knew about God, he knew because of Abraham.
Yep.
Amen. He walked with Abraham. He worshiped with Abraham. Everywhere that Abraham went, sat down in Egypt. He can't build an altar down in Egypt. Son, he built an altar and he worshiped God. Lot was there and Lot knew about God. You just read 2 Peter chapter 2, you'll find out. But now what did he do with what he learned about God? I'm going to tell you what he did. He compromised it and he conceded it. Now he pitched his tent towards Sodom because he wanted to do exactly what we've already preached about. Eat and drink and buy and sell and plant and build. He was in the cattle business. And son, he knew he got up there next to the city. He'd have a lot of customers and his business would grow. And that would have been all right. But the next thing we read about Lot is that he's no longer living in a tent pitched towards Sodom. He's dwelling right in the middle of that place.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't read about Lot preaching in that city until the two angels of God showed up and told him he's going to destroy that place. So what did he do when he entered that city? I'll tell you what he did. Same thing we're doing today. He compromised his faith and he conceded it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Huh?
Right.
You see, he traded his morals for money. Boy, all I used to hear on the Gulf Coast, man, if we ever get them casinos in here, son, money will be rolling in on them waves out of there. I'd take them boys down there and give them tours and train them because I was a firefighter. We had the standard operating procedures that we followed when we went down there in case of a fire or an emergency. I told them boys, I said, now young man, when we go in here, you're going to see several things. First thing you're going to see is a bunch of blue-haired old ladies pulling the crank on a slot machine. Next thing you're going to see some pretty carpet and some bells and whistles. It's going to be pretty in that place. Third thing you're going to see in there is one of my church members. I'm telling you, we didn't get 30 feet inside that place before I heard, "Brother Donnie." I'm going to tell you something. Child of God don't work in a casino or honky-tonk without compromising their spiritual life and their faith, amen.
Right.
And giving it up, son. Everything you take from this world, you've got to give up something of God. You better mark that down. He traded his morals for his money.
Amen.
He traded his spirituality for his success.
Yeah.
Friend, you got a choice when it comes time to worship God. You know what it is? Worship or work. Preacher, I don't have time to go to church. I've got to work for a living. I got these youngins I got to take care of. You're just lying. You don't want to go to church. How many times have I heard that, preacher? How many times have you heard that? Amen? Huh? We trade our spirituality, our spiritual life, our success. Oh, we got a pretty good crowd here tonight. Had a pretty good crowd Sunday. But folks, I want to tell you something. This place ought to be full.
That's right. Amen.
It really should. It ought to be full.
Right.
We're too busy or too willing, my friend, to trade our spiritual life for success. Finally, he traded souls for substance. Ah, preacher, how do you know that? I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked. Before God decided or was going to destroy Sodom, he went by Abraham's house. He ate with Abraham, fellowship with him. The two angels got up and started walking toward Sodom, and so did the Lord. And then the Lord stopped and asked himself a question. Shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do? Man, I wish God thought about me like that, don't you? Amen. He turned to Abraham and he told him the cry of Sodom had come up to him. And he was about to do something about it. Well, you know what entered old Abraham's mind? Oh man, Lot's down there. And then he asked God the question. He said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, what if there's 50 souls down there that are righteous? Will you destroy it? God said, no, I won't destroy it. There's 50 in there. Well, you know the story. Abraham just kept on bargaining till he bargained down to 10 spiritual righteous people. Abraham's thinking, all right, there's Lot, there's his wife, there's his two daughters, there's his two sons-in-law. If he could just win a couple more people, there will be 10 people down there and God won't destroy that place. But what Abraham didn't know, that the whole time he was down in Sodom, he'd not made one convert to the Lord. Rather than bringing people to God, he was drifting further away from God.
Yep, I see it.
And trading souls for substance. Now, if you'll look right here in Luke 17, it says here in verse 29, the first four words, but the same day that Lot came out of there. Let me tell you what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3. He talks about Noah building that ark, and he said this, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved. Huh?
Right.
So, one indication of this day in comparison to Lot's day is that, son, there are few that are being saved. The preacher will tell you, and I'll tell you, I've been saved 43 years. He's been a Christian longer than that. And the preacher, friend, there was a time whenever I got saved, that son, we'd have revival meetings and lots of folks would get saved. It wasn't unusual for somebody on Sunday morning after the preacher preached, for somebody to walk down the aisle and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." But son, things have gotten dry, I want you to know. You don't see many people saved. Why? We're living in days of compromise and conformity. Christians are willing to do things today that 50 years ago they'd have been churched for. It would not have been tolerated. Well, now I'd like to preach some more, but I can't on that. They were days of comfort and commonality, days of compromise and conformity. But they were also days of corruption and carnality. Ooh, I ain't got to go too far to preach on that. But I tell you what, let's go back to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now when we think of the sin of Sodom, we normally think of one thing, don't we? We think of homosexuality. But now let's read about those days of corruption and carnality and see how God described them. Now if you'll read this chapter later, it's a long chapter. God is condemning the city of Jerusalem. He goes all the way back to her origin and her birth, and where God took her up and what God made out of her and what she is now. I'm going to tell you what he called her. Let me tell you, a harlot is what he called her. And look what he says in Ezekiel 16 verse 49. He said, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy..." What's that next word? Sister. Your kinfolk. You share the same gene pool. You're just a lie. Sodom. Number one, pride. We got any pride in America today? Oh, we got lots of pride, but it's in the wrong things.
Yeah.
We used to sing, "I'm proud to be an American," but it's not sung in the colleges anymore. America is condemned for colonialism and every kind of thing you can think of, and you'll find no patriotism there. Pride. I saw on TV the other day on the news, and I'm not endorsing anybody, and they were fussing about Donald Trump using colorful language, let me put it that way, when he would speak at his rallies. You know what came to my mind? See, I've studied heroes. I know where heroes come from. And they ain't perfect people. And I'm not endorsing nobody. Don't go out here and say that. But you know what came to my mind? Well, why are you fussing about that? If you just watch the Academy Awards the other night, we give awards to people who talk much worse than what he talks like.
Yeah.
You're just being a hypocrite. You just be as foul and vulgar as you want to, and son, they'll give you an award for it. Oh man, look at this fella. He is some kind of actor. He can curse like a fool. Huh? Ain't that pitiful? You know what that is? That's pride.
Amen. Yep.
Some dummy, I can't go, named Kanye West, brags about being the best entertainer, the best singer that there's ever was. Son, I want to tell you something. There's very few can sing anymore. They can rap and spit and sputter and shout and snarl and snort. I watched one the other day. I came on there and her hair covered her whole face and it was half white, half black. I said, "What's that, an integrated mop? I don't know what that is." You know what we're saying? Listen to me, Lady Gaga. You know what we're saying? Look at me. Look at me. Ain't I special? Pride. I got to get off of that one. Fullness of bread. You know what? To eat and drink, you got to have fullness of bread, don't you? Amen.
Amen.
So it was not only a time of pride, it was a time of plenty, a time of prosperity. Why do you think Lot went into Sodom to start with? Amen. And look at this, abundance of idleness. You know, if a lot of people had their way in America, we'd be like France and them other places. We wouldn't work no 40-hour week. You crazy? We have a 30-hour week and maternity leave and vacation and sick leave and everything else to go with it. Matter of fact, today, if you don't want work, you ain't going to work at all. Uncle Sam will send you a check. No, take it back. He'll send you a credit card. That's on his credit, which is my credit.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
Well, I better get on off that one too. Luke, we don't have time. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, those cities around her. She had a lot of bread, but look, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So guess what? She had poverty. Let me ask you a question. Should there be any poverty in the United States of America? I'll tell you what, if you could get rid of the dope and dope heads, there wouldn't be a whole lot of it. Now, I'm not saying get rid of them. Don't go get mad at me about that now. What I'm saying is, America has so much going for it that everybody who wants to work ought to have a job.
That's right.
Huh?
Right.
That's what I tell the prisoners. I tell them nobody sitting in this place had a worse background than what I've got. Oh, you think that you're black. I got a lot of black ones there. And you didn't have a chance for this and that and other. Son, let me tell you something. There was a time in my life when I didn't have a bathroom. And I'm not talking about one in the house. I'm not talking about one in the yard. My bathroom consisted of international paper property. Our bathroom. Now, I couldn't tell that before Mama died. She wouldn't let me. Because it made her feel bad because of what we went through. But here's what I'm saying. You want me to tell you what I'm saying? The same school bus that picked me up picked up everybody else on the road. Now I want to tell you something. I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, red, or some combination of those, amen. You have an opportunity to get on that school bus and get yourself to school. They'll even feed you a free lunch there if you don't have no money. But learn.
Amen.
So that when you get out of high school, if you can't go to college or don't want to go to college, you can at least have enough sense to do some trade.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Lord, have mercy on us. And they were haughty. Now, you know that comes from the same root word as that word pride up in the previous verse. You want me to tell you what the difference is? Pride is somebody lifting them up, themselves up before everyone else. Haughtiness is one lifting himself up before God Almighty. Mm. Amen. You think for 1 minute if that bunch down there in Sodom would have had the power and ability to get a hold of them two angels that was there, they'd have got them and done what they wanted to with them? Yes, sir, they would. And we tell you why? There's no fear of God in their eyes. Then he says, and committed abomination before me. And that's what we're talking about, the homosexuality. And so God said this, therefore, because of these things, I took them away as I saw. Son, I won't tell you what. That bunch of heathen up there on the Supreme Court can say whatever they want and pass whatever they want, son. It ain't changed God's mind about one thing.
Amen.
I read an article just today by John Piper. A lot of you may know him. I've got a lot of his books and I've read after him. He wrote an article about Christians dealing with homosexuality, and he wrote the article in such a way to say that God has dealt it with man in different ways at different times. Son, that ain't so. God's always dealt with man in grace. And he took the law, and the question was, should Christians kill homosexuals? Should they be executed? And the man totally missed the point. He did not understand that that aspect of the law did not fall under the moral law. It did not fall under the ceremonial law. It fell under the civil law. And the Christian never has the right to take civil law in his hand. Case closed. Somehow that man missed it.
Yep,
been an author and teacher for years. I don't know how y'all got me on that, but let's go on back to Luke 17. And we're going to close. Days of corruption and carnality, and they were also days of catastrophe and consequence. Go back, if you will, to verse number 29. But the same day, not the day before, not the day after, that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. There are some people that think that you're going to have another chance in the afterlife to get right with God. That's a lie. Nowhere in the scripture does it teach that. Some people believe that they can wait till the last minute, amen, before the Lord comes and get themselves right. The problem is they don't know when He's coming.
That's right.
And that's what He's teaching here. Everything was going fine as normal until Lot came out of that place. Now let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. America may crash tomorrow. I don't know. I don't have control over that. But I want to tell you something. This whole thing is not going to collapse until after the Lord takes His people out of there.
Right.
People ask me, preacher, you still believe in the rapture? By the way, there are very few people believe in the rapture. Son, I do believe in the rapture. You can't deny the rapture according to what the scripture says. Now, we can argue a whole lot about when it's going to happen.
Right.
And I ain't getting mad with nobody about that. Amen.
Right.
But I want to tell you something. There's coming a time when God is going to let loose His wrath upon this earth for rejecting His Son.
That's right.
And He is going to pour out His judgment, His wrath upon this world, just like He did Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what He's saying. Now, how many souls were saved in the flood? 8. How many made it out of Sodom? 3. Why? Because Lot's wife looked back. Why did she look back? Was she curious? Was she scared? No, she's scared she'd obeyed God. Because that's where her heart was.
That's right. Exactly.
Nowhere in Scripture does it ever tell us about Lot marrying anybody. So he had to have met his wife in Sodom. She was born and raised there. No doubt married Lot because he was successful. Certainly not because he was a preacher. And her heart was in that place. And as they began to depart from that place, having heard the message of the angels, and she heard that storm of fire and brimstone coming down out of the sky, son, her heart was broken for her city and her people, and she turned to see it one last time. Now, why did Jesus say, if a man's on the housetop when this thing begins, don't come down and get your stuff? If you're in the field, don't worry about going back to the house, son. You know what he's saying? Just as Lot's wife cost her because of where her heart was, don't you find yourself in that same position. Don't you find yourself in such a position that your heart is so involved with something in this world that when the Lord comes, it's going to bust up your party.
That's right.
You better be ready. I'm going to close. Four people we see involved in this catastrophe and this consequence. First of all, we see the laughers. Angel said, who y'all you got here, boy? Well, I got these two daughters and I got two, here's the word used, sons-in-law. Now you make that out to be whatever you want to make it out to be. I'm going to make it out to be sons-in-law. But I'm going to tell you this about his two daughters. Lot himself said they were virgins. Well, I'll have scratched my head on that. But not long. Because this was Sodom, you know. Huh? And so he went to tell them that the Lord was fishing to destroy this place. And the Bible says that they mocked him. They made fun of him. They laughed at him. You done gone off your rocker, you cuckoo. You're one of them people that believes in the literalness of the Bible, of the Word of God. Well, I'm ashamed you're so stupid. You see, you're going to have to get over that. I don't care what people call me. And I'll go up against any of them. I don't care. And I'll whip most of them. You don't believe that? Just ask my wife. I never whipped her, no. There were laughers. Son, we got a bunch laughing today, making fun of God. Yeah. Boy, a bunch of that Hollywood crowd. Man, they think, you make fun of God. Boy, you're a good actor. You deserve a reward. Let's make a movie about Noah and put some rock men in it. Hollywood can't make a movie about God. Don't know nothing about God.
Amen.
They laugh at God. They laugh at you because you walk with God. First kind of people we see around this last day going to be a bunch of laughers. Peter called them scoffers. But then we're also going to see the lingerers. Those that laughed and those that lingered. You see, friend, Lot's heart almost got caught up in Sodom. How you know that? Because the Bible says that while he lingered, those angels took hold of him by the hand, took hold of his wife by the hand, took hold of his two daughters by their hands, and they literally brought them out of that city. Made them leave. But not only that, as soon as Lot got out, an angel said, head for the hills. He said, there's a little city over there. Can't I go over there? If I go up into this wilderness, something might happen to me. Just like a lot of Christians we got today. Bunch of sissy boys. You see, he was a lingerer.
Ah, preacher, I know I'm saved and I'm going to serve God when I get so old that I can't do nothing else. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Cow might stomp on you.
Yeah.
But you may not get up from it. Amen? The Bible, you know what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12? Serve thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, in which you'll say, my soul hath no pleasure in thee. You know when you ought to serve God? When you're young!
Amen.
I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but we're getting old, us old folks.
Yeah, we are.
Aiden, better get up. Young, you better get up. We fixing to turn this thing over to you if Jesus tarries. Amen.
Right.
Don't linger. Get going with God right now. Don't put it off.
Amen, brother.
Jesus might come before you eat your next Big Mac.
That's right.
Those who laughed, those that lingered, and then there was those that looked back. Cost her everything. You know what Jesus said? He that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of me.
What's he?
Son, you need to put this world behind you and everything that has to do with it. Amen.
Amen.
And go on for God.
Yes.
And once you start going for God, don't let the devil derail you. Amen. Just keep on going. Then the final group of people we see here are those that languish, that burnt in the fires of hell that fell upon that place. You know what? I have lost loved ones. If my daddy saved, I can't prove it. He said he got saved when he was a young boy. I don't know. He never lived for God. I know God's full of mercy and endures forever. But the thing that terrifies me, and I've preached to him all my life, all my family, is that when the Lord comes, the consequences of neglecting Christ are going to fall on him and all my lost loved ones. And when I stand before God, if he looks at me and calls me Lot, that's going to make for a sad moment. Amen. Huh? Folks, Jesus is coming. I don't know when, but I know for sure he is coming.
Amen. Yes, he is.
Amen.
And if he doesn't come, I'm a going.
Yes.
And so, either way, I hope that when I leave, I'll have no regrets. That I'll have done all that I knew how to do, and I don't have much to know with. But I used all that I knew how to do to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this day. Without compromise and without holding back. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus said. Amen. God bless you, preacher. Sorry I'm so long.